Thank you for downloading Producer's Pick from Sounds True, a podcast dedicated to bringing you moving, captivating, and intriguing selections from our programs. In this podcast, the producers at Sounds True have chosen a selection from a program that they've worked on, which caught their attention as a unique or special moment in the recording process. This week's episode, Entering the Broken World, comes from the audio program Finding Beauty in a Broken World by Terry Tempest Williams. Here's what Randy Rourke, a producer at Sounds True, has to say about this week's producer's pick.
Sometimes our path of healing is not in the direction we expect it to be. For author Terry Tempest Williams, her crisis began with the death of her brother and the attack on the World Trade Center, and it grew into a grief that swallowed even her desire to write. Instead, she traveled to Italy to study the ancient art of mosaics, an art where something beautiful is made out of pieces of broken glass. Then, surprising even herself, she said yes to an appeal by the artist Lily Yeh to travel to Rwanda, the site of one of history's worst genocides, and to help create a memorial for the bones of those who died. What Williams discovers in Rwanda is something she could not even have imagined when she began her journey, that sometimes the only way to get past your own grief is to bear witness and be present with another's. And if we can do that, we may find in the crucible of our suffering together that a new life is formed, one strong enough to take us to the unexpected joys that are waiting for us on the other side of grief.
You can download the entire program, Finding Beauty in a Broken World, at SoundsTrue.com. And now, our producer's pick, Entering the Broken World, with Terry Tempest Williams.
Rwanda. I didn't want to come. I didn't want to be in a place so familiar with death. I had seen enough in my own family. I was also scared. The only thing I knew of Rwanda was genocide, and the weight of that word. 1994, the year we Americans turned our backs. No, I would not go to Rwanda. I said yes. I said yes to Lily Yeh, a Chinese-American artist who understood mosaic as taking that which was broken and creating something whole. She helped create the Village of Arts and Humanities in Philadelphia from the poorest of neighborhoods. She stood in the center of an empty lot littered with glass, picked up a stick, and drew a circle around her. One by one, a curious community came to see who this tiny Chinese woman was and what she was doing. She invited them to pick up shards of glass, and together they began making art. Mosaics. A tree of life was constructed on the standing wall of a building otherwise destroyed. It was the first of many mosaics to restore beauty to a place of violence and abuse. Barefoot artist, she said, as she began to describe the Rwandan project. She had been asked by a member of the Red Cross to help design a genocide memorial in the village of Rugerero, very near the town of Gisenyi, on the border of the Congo. Will you be part of our team? I need you as our scribe. I said no. And then I said yes. I knew on some level my own spiritual evolution depended on it. There are four of us. Lily Yeh, Alan Jacobson, an environmental designer, Megan Morris, a graduate student whose work focuses on the effects of war on adolescents, and myself. Rukurande Musana Jean Bosco is our sponsor from the Red Cross, the man who invited Lily to come work with him on this project. He is accompanied by Damas, a tall, impressive young man with a broad smile. We are driving on a red dirt road outside Kigali, the capital city of Rwanda, on our way to see two churches that are now memorials to the 1994 genocide. Large expanses of wetlands are on either side of us. This is where many Tutsi hid, Jean Bosco tells us. It is also where many were hunted and butchered by the Hutu militia, known as the Interahamwe. We cross a bridge. There was a time When this river was choked with bodies, Gian Bosco says. Nyamata. I look up at the ceiling in the church. Holes from grenades appear as stars. Light is streaming down onto the pews, empty pews, rooms full of bones, bags of bones, bulging, closed, sacks of skulls, piles of faded clothing. The altar cloth, once white, is now brown with blood. 10,000 people were murdered here. Belize, a young woman, 21 years old, is the witness here at Nyamata who tells the story. She shows us where the door was kicked down. She shows us an identity card, Hutu, Tutsi. It came down to this, she says. She tells of those murdered, bodies piled over one another on pews. She tells of how the Virgin survived and points to a statue in the corner on the shelf, the Blessed Mother perfectly intact. Beautiful in her ethereal presence, Belize is barely here. She inhabits the past, hunkered in the grasses, 9 years old, listening, waiting. Her parents told her to hide in the fields. She remembers the screams, the silences, looking for her parents, searching for her parents, and then the years of wandering. She has come back. This church is now her home, her parents' home. Their bones are in the church. We descend into what looks like a root cellar. There is just enough light to see that it is filled with coffins covered with purple cloth. Some of the coffins are open. That is not one person, but many persons, says Belize. Each coffin contains many people. She pauses. Whole families. My family. This is a hell of our own making, those who killed, and those of us who looked away. No surgical strikes, computerized or digitalized by military minds and Top Gun pilots. The eyes of these killers were on the eyes of those they killed, by hand. 1 million Tutsis were murdered in 100 days. Their killers were neighbors with farm tools, machetes and hoes, hundreds of skulls, shelves of skulls, 30,000 bodies here at Nyamata. This is what we are told. We are walking inside a mass grave, genocidal tourists, underground. I'm sick to my stomach. All I can see are the whites of Belize's eyes in darkness. I cannot walk any farther down this narrow, damp hallway of bones, shelves and boxes of bones. Belize calls me back. Here, look, the skin has not yet separated from the bones. From the corner of my eye, I see a flesh-fallen hand, disembodied. Below, a large amber cockroach scurries across the cement floor. Inyeze, cockroach, the Hutu name for Tutsi. I emerge out of the cellar. Two windows with hand grips are pulled back over the ceiling of white tiles like transparent wings. Belize is outside, one arm wrapped around her waist, her other hand on her forehead, wiping away sweat. Can one be soaked in sorrow? I sit next to her in the garden. It is impossible to imagine, I say to Belize. It is impossible to accept, she responds. When I see these skulls, I see me.